Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Three wide receivers set on second down. Pass deflected, picked off, and taken in for a touchdown by Kyle Hamilton.
Pick six, Kyle Hamilton last year, M&T Bank Stadium against the Cleveland Browns. Kenny Albert Fox on the call. Unfortunately, the Ravens wound up losing that game as Deshaun Watson went nuts in the second half. But Kyle Hamilton doing first-team All-Pro stuff at safety for the Ravens. It's NFL Lunchtime. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. As we look at a deep position for the Baltimore Ravens, it's defensive backfield, and in particular at safety, Vinny, led by none other than the guy we just heard about, Kyle Hamilton, entering his third year out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, they got, I don't know that anybody could be as deep, Bob, with the 11 people. And if you throw in Millett, they got, they're 12 deep. You know, with Millett, they're with six corners and six safeties. And they're really good there. They're very versatile there, is probably the biggest thing, is they're versatile. They got guys that can play outside, play inside. They got guys that can rubber, or guys that can cover, guys that can run. So it is a very good second. And I would expect, if they all stay healthy, Bob, there'll be at least two Pro Bowlers in that group.
How much better can Kyle Hamilton get?
He'll just be more productive. He'll make more big plays. You know, he'll, because he's an awesome, I think he's an awesome pass rusher, rushing, you know, on his blitz and stuff, because he times things so well. Well, he'll be even better, Bob, just because he'll be more familiar with things, and he'll have seen things, and the improvements that he'll make. And he'll have even better people around him. So, and the other thing, Bob, is if they're not getting a lot of sack pressure, I think he's going to be much more involved in that area.
Now, Marcus Williams, we know he's a good player. He was a good player in New Orleans to the point where Eric DaCosta signed him as a free agent. Then he's battled injuries for the most part since, shoulder last year, wrist in 2022. If he stays 15 to 17 games health-wise, are we looking, you said, two Pro Bowlers? I mean, what's the ceiling for Marcus Williams' third year in Baltimore?
Well, you figure he's, when he started out healthy his first year here, he had four interceptions, in the first five
right
games?
Right out of the gate, yeah.
And then look at what Geno Stone did, basically replacing him, had seven interceptions back there. So, and he's an interception guy. He's got good ball skills, and he's got good instincts back there, and he's a good center fielder. I think he's a playmaker, Bob. That's what he is. And he's got to feel good, because how many times did we see last year when he's running, he's trying to tackle a dude with one arm? I mean, he's got to feel like he's a new guy because he's got two arms and he's healthy. I think the ceiling for him, be as good as he wants. It's two best safeties in the league.
Eddie Jackson, how's he looking at camp? Former All-Pro or Pro Bowler with the Bears. I mean, how much tread's left on that tire?
I like Eddie Jackson. I think another guy, Bob, that is super smart and really instinctive. And that's how he gets. Now, I was totally shocked at how skinny he is. I mean, it looks like, you know, you figure, does Alabama have a weight room?
He's listed at 206. You buying that?
No. No. Not at all. Not at all. But he is, I think he's, talent-wise, Bob, he's better than Geno Stone. Will he have those kind of stats? I don't know, but he's a better talented player than Geno.
So safety, they're loaded. Ardarius Washington can help you. Now, he's a little on the smallish side, though.
Ardarius is small. Yeah. They're going to play him at nickel. They got him on the roster at nickelback.
Now, cornerback, Marlon Humphrey, you were there. By all accounts, he had a fabulous offseason through training camp. if he stays healthy, the chances that carries over could be pretty high. I mean, yeah. Marlon's a young veteran, just turned 28 years old.
The thing with Marlon, I didn't even recognize him when he was out there. I mean, the change that he made in his body totally, totally helped his game. I mean, because before he looked slow, he looked sluggish. Now he looked quicker, faster. He looked like a player. He looked like a player, and that's going to help them, because I think what they'll do a lot, Bob, is they'll pop Wiggins on the outside and put Marlon on the inside, where he plays extremely well, too.
Now, Brandon Stevens had a breakout 2023. Is that an aberration, Vinny, or is this the start of a long, successful career at that position for a guy who started as a running back, was a running back at UCLA, switched to corner at SMU, and out of necessity became the guy for the Ravens last year?
I think he just plays consistently. That's the thing that he does. And what teams have done is if they see Humphrey over there or a rookie, they'll be throwing over that way. They're not going to be throwing at Stevens. I think Stevens has kind of got that reputation. He's a big corner that can run, and he's physical. And he's real good in press man. Now, the thing is what happens to him a lot is guys catch it because he doesn't find a football a lot. So he's getting better at that. But he should have made the Pro Bowl last year, but he's got a good chance this year if their defense plays well.
Now we talk about the rookies, Nate Wiggins, first-round draft pick out of Clemson, and then TJ Tampa, fourth-rounder. We'll talk about Wiggins first. Obviously, got hurt in the preseason over the shoulder, but seems to be fine and has recovered nicely from that one. Thank you very much. First game, going up against Kansas City and all the weaponry and the great quarterback they have in Patrick Mahomes. How prepared is Nate Wiggins going to be for life in the National Football League?
He'll be ready. I mean, he's got the confidence, I think, and he's probably gained confidence and cockiness from the preseason, but he's playing against better receivers now that they'll go after him. He'll play a lot, Bob, and he's a good player, and he's going to get nothing but better and better because he can cover. He can cover, and he's got those types of skills. He's got those kind of feet, hips, and burst and speed and catch-up speed. Now, with TJ Tampa, Bob, I think that's one that I think he's going to get better as the season goes along, and I think he'll add more to the defense as the season goes along. Right away, I don't know. It would not shock me if he wasn't active for the Kansas City game. Wouldn't shock me either way. But I think it's a guy that as they go during the season, he's going to give more and more and more.
Jalen Armour-Davis, sleeper stud perhaps for the Ravens this year?
I think Armour-Davis, so another guy that can run cover. He's got a little size to him too. So finally been healthy the whole time. He's got talent. He's got ability. He's got cover ability. He's got ball skills. He showed that the other day against the Pack. So they won't be afraid to play him. And he's going to be in there on, dime defense or something. He'll be a participant.
58 Handy 105.7 The Fan. NFL Lunch, Woman Crush Wednesday. 9 linebackers. Any surprises with the personnel that has been chosen, at least for now?
No, I think it's all those are all guys that you would – I just thought there would be a 10th because I thought there'd be another backup linebacker. And maybe by the time Friday comes around, there will be. But of all the guys that they kept, no. No, not at all. And is it a talented group? Yeah. And I think Simpson will end up being better than Queen. I think he's much better in pass coverage and stuff than Queen. And he's farther along at this point than Queen was in year two. And I don't know that it's close. Now, the only thing that's going to hold this linebacker group back, Bob, they need Owe to make a huge jump. I mean, desperately need Owe to make a huge jump. That defense can be a lot better. That defense can be really special if Owe is a legit pass rusher. I mean, because he's been causing a lot of problems. He's been working with Chuck Smith. He's got a nice spin move now. He doesn't look as paint by the numbers like 1, 2, 3, spin. you know, type of guy. So he looks more natural. Ajabo looks more natural. Showed good burst in that pack game. Now, let's see. The only thing that is somewhat concerning is, like, always been wearing out anybody he's gone against in practice. Now, how good is your O-line compared to the other O-lines that you're going to be playing against?
And finally, defensive line. They seem very stout here. Five Lawrence guys visited, and we'll see how that turns out. But their D-line's got a pretty strong upside, it looks like, Vinny, on paper and on the field.
Yeah, but, I mean, I've always loved Michael Pierce. I mean, you talk about, you know, big run-stopping dude, and he chases and plays hard. I like him. Travis Jones is ready to take that next jump. And he didn't play in the last preseason game, but the one before, the first one, I didn't think he played great. The second one, fundamentally, he got so much better. If he plays good fundamentally, that's a big, strong, powerful guy. And with Matabike, I think, Bob, they'll put him, like, in some of the nickel dimes type stuff, let him rush from the outside because he's got those kind of skills. So I think it's a really talented group, and it's deep with Urban and with Roderick Washington. They can rotate them in there freely.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk some more football with Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. We'll preview the AFC South. The Ravens will take on the Houston Texans this year. Christmas Wednesday. So we'll get into all of that with Ryan. How strong could this division be? Bottom of the hour. Speaking of divisions, we'll look at the American League East and beyond. Orioles in L.A. taking on the Dodgers. Corbin Burns looking for win number 13. Orioles go for a series win after taking 1-3-2 late last.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last night, how tough from top to bottom could the AFC South be, Ryan Wilson? And could this be a division that provides the AFC with their conference champion when it's all said and done?
To answer your last question first, yeah, absolutely. Typically, the AFC South and the NFC South have been sort of the weak links of the NFL, but it doesn't feel that way this year. In fact, I was just looking through the, you know, I'm going to talk about the MVP odds later today for my job here, and I kept coming back to C.J. Stroud, and I don't think that's crazy. Patrick Mahomes is clearly the favorite. Josh Allen deserves to be in the conversation. Jordan Love's another interesting name, but I think what C.J. was able to do last year, and it was remarkable. Now, credit goes to Bobby Sloak, the offensive coordinator, and obviously DeMeco Ryans, but C.J. had to execute the plays, and he did it not only at a high level, but at a level that probably made David Tepper so mad, the owner of the Panthers, wondering why he was talked into taking Bryce Young, or if you talk to some people, it was his decision to take Bryce Young. But I think the larger point is the offensive line's going to be better in Houston. They have playmakers. They went out and got Steph Diggs. They signed Joe Mixon. And they have a young group on defense that can get after it. And they've done a great job drafting the last few years. So I'm all in on the Texans. I'm sold on what they can do. It doesn't feel like a sophomore slump situation with CJ, just because he was playing at such a high level above the neck last year. I think it continues. And then the rest of the division feels pretty wide open. Every quarterback is young. Trevor Lawrence, excuse me, just got paid.
What's his face? Yeah. How quickly they fall.
But I say that knowing that you got CJ, you talked about Anthony Richardson. I think that the Anthony Richardson-Shane Steichen pairing is going to be an effective one, based on the limited time they had together last year before Anthony got hurt, but also because what Shane did as the OC in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. And then, of course, Will Levis in year two with Brian Callahan, and Brian Stats going to be there coaching up the offensive line. I think that team has a chance to be much better than they were last year when they won six games. I think all these teams, three of these teams will be above 500, and I think the Titans have a chance to be above 500 when it's all said and done.
Hey, Ryan, you know, you mentioned Ryan Love. That division, I think, is going to be a real tough one. Detroit's good, you know, and the Packers, they're up and coming. Look at what we saw last year, what the last eight games, Love was really good. And I think the Bears are going to be interesting.
Yeah, and it's funny because the Packers, you talk about that strong finish, Benny, they went 9-8. same record as the Jaguars, but the Jaguars fell apart down the stretch in part because Trevor got hurt. But in terms of what the Packers bring, I remember talking to Jordan Love at the Senior Bowl when he came out, because he's in that draft class with Justin Herbert and Tua. And he was sort of lost in the mix. He had a tough year, his final year at Utah State, because he was basically doing everything for that team that had lost a ton of players. And I think he landed in the right situation. Aaron Rodgers probably feels differently, but he didn't have to play right away. And then once he got on the field and was comfortable 2-3 years into his NFL journey, you saw what he could do. And I think that's a big part of what makes these young quarterbacks successful, that they have a lot of confidence going into their situation. Matt LaFleur clearly trusts them. They have a ton of talent, and they're all young at wide receiver and at tight end. They got Jacobs, the running back from Las Vegas, so that's going to help there. And I think their offensive line, even with David Bakhtiari now gone, they feel really good about it. Their first-round pick out of Arizona is going to have a chance to play right away too. So there's a lot of reasons to be excited. I am one of these people that's buying in on the hype with the Bears, because I think Caleb's going to be special. But I also think their defense is really good, and I think their offensive line and skill position players have been upgraded extensively from where they were a year ago. They got Rome Odunze, of course, but I think they have a chance to be really good.
Yeah, I've been watching the Hard Knocks, and I kind of like what I'm seeing from the Bears and stuff. You know, now Ryan, are you a believer in the Jets?
No, I need to see where we're going to be with Aaron Rodgers, and he's 40, so that's a concern. The defense is going to be lights out, so that's great. But are they going to win every game 11-9? Because that's going to be a huge ask for that defense week in and week out. If Aaron's where we think he is, then they're going to be in the mix. I think the offensive line looks great on paper, but you have to be concerned about the age at the tackle positions, because there could be a situation where those guys get banged up. Olafashi, their first-round pick, has had a pretty good preseason, so maybe he can slip in there if you need him, if Teron Smith isn't able to stay healthy, and he struggled to stay healthy in recent years. But I'm going to be waiting to see on them. I feel a lot better about the Bills, and maybe even a little better about the Dolphins until we get to December, when they seem to fall apart.
All right, now let's get into the AFC North. You know, what are you feeling on your Steelers and the quarterback situation and your offensive line?
This is going to be very troubling. I feel better about the offensive line than I do about the quarterback situation, and that's with the understanding that the left tackle is going to be a second-year player, and the right tackles and the center are going to be rookies. Russ Wilson, it's his job. I know we keep going back and forth on this, but Tomlin's made it clear since they acquired him that he's going to be the guy. And I know Justin Fields had his moments in preseason, but Justin Fields also had his moments during the preseason that reminded you why the Bears moved on from him. So I think it's Russ's job. Offers a little more stability, not quite the athleticism, and that's okay. Arthur Smith's going to run the ball a lot, and I think that's good news for Najee Harris. Need to get Jalen Warren back because they need a 1-2 punch there in the running back position. But they'll be better than last year, even though they won 10 games somehow with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. How good is another question. Baltimore and Cincinnati are at the top of this division. I think Baltimore's actually has a lead on Cincinnati in that regard. And Vinny, we talk about this every year. In terms of the Browns, they'll find a way to Browns it up. And I think it starts and ends with Deshaun Watson when you talk about that team right now.
Hey, Ryan, from what you've seen thus far and the camps you've been to or watched and the preseason game you've watched and the cuts that you've seen, who's going to be a surprise team this year?
You know what? I think that the Commanders have a chance to win double-digit games. And the concern is the left tackle position. Cornelius Lucas is in the conversation. They drafted Brandon Coleman out of TCU. They'll figure that out. But the way that they used Jaden Daniels and the limited snaps we saw in preseason was encouraging. The ball gets out of his hands quickly. I think Cliff Kingsbury has a ton of success with young athletic quarterbacks. We've seen that. I think that what Adam Peters has done there and Dan Quinn in such a short period of time, I think this team has a chance to make some noise in the NFC East. I don't know if the Eagles count as a team, but it would surprise me. They did implode down the stretch last year. I think they're going to be much improved. Kellen Moore is now calling the plays, and I think Jalen Hurts will sort of refine himself, if you will. But I think Washington has a chance to go from 4-13 to winning 10 games and maybe making a push for the playoffs.
Wow. Hey, pump your brakes on that one, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Let's get back to the NFC South real quick. Baker Mayfield exceeds, matches, or falls below his 2023 production for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I think he exceeds it in much the same way we heard Tua talk about, all the negative comments from Brian Flores. I think once – Baker found his way to Tampa, and it felt like the right fit for him. We saw who he could really be, and I think that team's going to be better offensively. They went out and got Jalen McMillan, who's going to help them, and I think that he's going to play even better than he did last year.
Ryan Wilson, what's happening at CBSSports.com with you and beyond as we're 8 days away from the start of the NFL season?
Me and my guy Rick Spielman do With the First Pick, our draft podcast, twice a week. So we talk about, obviously, the college games coming up. Big game for Notre Dame, Benny. And we also talk about the rookies as they make their way through their first NFL season. Hey, Riley Leonard, name to watch.
Ryan Wilson, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday. We shall talk next week on the eve of the season.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Wilson, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East Report, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access takes over at 2, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight at 6 with Ryan Ripken and Tim Barbalay. Orioles trying to win a series tonight behind Corbin Burns and hopefully a productive offense.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Well, closing out the month of August, almost. 28th is today. Last night at Chavez Ravine, Orioles beat the Dodgers 3-2. First game of a three-game set. Ramon Urias, Ryan O'Hearn go deep. Urias' two-run shot proved to be the difference in the game. Ryan O'Hearn, his first homer since July 20th. Mike Bowman gets the win in relief of Cole Irvin, who got into the fifth inning, so he kept the Orioles in the game. Bullpen, 4 2/3 scoreless innings. Sir Anthony Dominguez, he gets the save. Orioles were still 0-6 with runners in scoring position. That has kind of been a season-long problem for them. They rely on the long ball, but the bullpen did them a solid, so they get a much-needed win after splitting with Houston, taking out the Dodgers, who are great at home. They had the best record in Major League Baseball. The Orioles have been good on the road for the better part of 2 years now, and they continue to play well away from Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Tonight, 10-10, Corbin Burns will try to pick up a win, as he's had a rough go of it. His last four starts, his earned run average is over 8. Still sits at 12-6 with a 3.28 earned run average. So Corbin Burns on the hill for the Orioles. Walker Buehler, stud pitcher, Tommy John multiple times. Had it at Vanderbilt, had it with the Dodgers. He's 1-4 with a 6.04 ERA. The L.A. Dodgers, talked about this yesterday with Bill Plunkett. Their injuries have been just as plentiful as the Orioles, especially in the starting rotation. Dodgers 78-54 on the year, 43-24 at Dodger Stadium. Orioles 77-56, 38-26 on the road. Elsewhere in the American League East last night, Yankees down in D.C. taking on those pesky Nationals. And how about the hometown nine doing the Orioles a favor?
Now this ball out to right center by Tena. See you later. And that's his second as a Nat.
Jose Tena with the home run. Masson on the call. Back-to-back homers off Gerrit Cole, who takes the loss for the Yankees as the Nats win that one 4-2. Also in the division, Boston taking on Toronto at Fenway Park. Blue Jays have been kind of putting it on them, but the hometown team did some good stuff. Maybe a little too late.
High drive into right field, down at a pesky pole. Did he sneak one in there? Yes, he did. Jaron Duran with home run number 20.
Nassau on the call. 6-3 was the final score. Yoshida had two ribbies as well. For the Red Sox, Jaron Duran, if you remember a couple weeks back, Oriole Park at Camden Yards was a pain in the Orioles' ass for sure. And Tampa taking on Seattle out in the great Northwest. And this guy's been having quite the little power surge as of late.
So look at a false start, a drive to center with Rodriguez heading back. And Siri's done it again. A two-run homer, and the Rays take a 2-1 lead.
What do you think Kevin Cash is saying? Siri, hit me a home run. Jose Siri, two-run shot. Bally's on the call as Tampa gets the win there in a very, very interesting scenario for them because they're, I mean, the Mariners are chasing Houston. Tampa's
kind of fighting for the wild card and all the fun stuff that goes along with it. We'll get to the standings here in a second. There is a game underway as we speak, a couple to be exact, but Kansas City taking on the Guardians. Back-to-back home runs from Massey and Pasquantina as it's 2-1 Kansas City over the Guardians. And as we get to the standings, you will see that Kansas City has been doing a number on Cleveland in Cleveland. Standings update as we sit here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Yankees game up on the Orioles, 9.5 up on Boston. Kansas City and Cleveland are tied for first place in the Central, but Kansas City has the advantage in head-to-head matchups, so technically they're in front. You've got Houston 3.5 up on Seattle out west. You got a 6-game advantage, Philadelphia over Atlanta. Brewers are 9 up on the Cubbies. And then you have 3 games separating both Arizona and the Padres from the Dodgers, who, as we've talked about, lost to the Orioles last night. Wild card. If the playoffs started today, which they do not, Orioles, Guardians, and Twins would be the wild cards, with Boston 4 off the pace. And in the National League, it's the Diamondbacks, Padres, and Braves, with the Mets 3 back. So we're starting to see some separation. But looking at a team like Detroit, they've won 5 in a row. They've moved to within 5.5 of the wild card. And teams in the National League that aren't done yet, Giants and Cubs, they're both 5.5 back. And deficits that could be made up if they get hot, and if you're going to get hot, now is probably the right time to do so, as September and Memorial Day weekend, they loom, coming up in a couple of days.
It is crunch time, Bob. What do we got, 29 games left? You can't afford to have a long losing streak.
No, then you're doomed.
Yeah.
But a long winning streak could separate you from wild card and division championships. But as we talked about yesterday, and this is with all due respect to the Red Sox and the Mariners and the Tigers, etc., it seems as though the playoff teams in the American League are kind of set, barring some collapsing here. And maybe same thing in the National League, even though the Mets have shown a pulse, as the Orioles found out last week at Citi Field.
Yeah, I mean, the only way that a team, you know, like you were saying, I mean, Detroit's got to win almost 9-10 games in a row to really get back into it. And the teams that are coming from down that low, out 7-8 games, you've got to go on an unbelievable winning streak. And the teams ahead of you got to go on a losing streak. Otherwise, you can't make up any ground. That's the tough time. That's the tough thing with, you know, so few games left.
A couple of NFL tidbits before we squeeze a phone call in. Dalvin Cook's going to sign with the Cowboys. What does that say for Dallas's running game, with all due respect to Dalvin Cook?
Not good.
Practice squad, by the way.
It's probably where he belongs. I just wasn't that impressed with Dalvin Cook. I think he's kind of done, Bob. And look, you know, because with the Ravens last year, he just didn't have any burst.
And then Bailey Zappe is going to sign with the practice squad of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I think that's good. It'll be their third team quarterback. They got Carson Wentz, and you know, maybe, you know, it's a guy they develop, because Wentz is, I believe, he's on a 1-year deal, and they can just slide him in, you know, a year from now if they need to.
Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Bel Air. It is Nick. Nick, what's happening on this Woman Crush Wednesday?
Hey, Bob, just wanted to get your comment on a trend that's been happening. And I'm certainly no soothsayer, but, you know, Burns, in my eyes, is the number two on the team right now. And our number one is on the healing shelf. But in saying that, we have a coaching staff that will refuse to go see Corbin Burns when he has that one blow-up inning. And invariably lately, it's always been pitches very well, always has that one inning where things blow up, doesn't hold runners, can't field his position, and then things snowball. And then the coaches come out to kind of change the momentum or slow him down. No, they won't do it, because he's the ace. And, of course, they could never go out and talk to him. The only time somebody's going to go out and get Burns is when Hyde does and he's making a pitching change. So I don't know where Burns' loyalty is for the team. I don't think his future is going to be here with us, but as long as we have him and he has good innings, pitch him. Don't care about the pitch count. Work him and quit babying him. And if he has a bad inning, slow him down or pull him. Don't wait till things snowball. Run support could be better for the man. But I just wanted to get your opinion, Bob. Thanks. That's the trend I see.
All right, Nick. Thank you very much. Look, Corbin Burns has owned up to his suckage. And he talked about it after his last outing. We need to play better as a team, and it starts with me, because I'm not doing my job. Now, whether or not he's long-term for the Orioles, probably not.
but he is committed to this team. He's been a mentor to some of the younger pitchers. Look, this guy's been in the playoffs before the Brewers, and he wants to win a World Series, and he understands if he takes it up to another level in September, it helps the Birds, it helps their playoff chances, it puts a couple more bucks in his pocket, he's going to get paid either way, but he understands the role that he has with this team, and I don't know if that Brandon Hyde or the pitching coaches are afraid to deal with him. Maybe because he's got a routine, they just let him work through his stuff. But he does have that one inning where things just kind of go kaput for him, where his command takes a hike on him and he struggles. Because he'll throw a no-hitter for four innings and barely get through the fifth. But Corbin Burns is an ace by all definition. And Zach Eflin, who you're referring to, hopefully he's scheduled to come off the IL on Sunday. He thinks he might be trending in that direction, but as we have seen, don't hold your breath waiting for that to happen.
Don't you think he's earned a little credibility, too? You know what I mean? Because of what he's done in the past?
That's what I was just saying. I mean, he's kind of earned a little equity here based on his career. But if you notice something that's mechanically off,
right,
it's your job to go out there and say, hey, you might be tipping your pitches, maybe your shoulder's dipping a little bit. You got to get out there and straighten things out. And hopefully Corbin Burns gets it rolling tonight as they need him. The Orioles trying to catch the Yankees in the American League East. And it's not against the rules to get the lead and maybe hold on to it for nine innings. We'll come back, take a fun house trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access coming up at 2. Then it's BBT, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts at 6. Baltimore Baseball Tonight coming up at 6 with Ryan Ripken and Tim Barbalay's Landline coming up at 6, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Maryland starts their football season on Saturday. We'll talk more about that Friday because I'm off tomorrow. Cordell Woodland will be in tomorrow as I go back to the eye doctor. As many times as I've been to the eye doctor, remember the $6 million man?
Oh, yeah.
I should have bionic vision or at least Superman X-ray vision. As she's like pawing all over me, I should have X-ray vision at least. Anyway, you ready to go to the fun house before I say something that could get us in trouble?
Plus, Bob, Norm's starting out the show tomorrow.
He is.
No one is.
So you're the opener. You're like the Tampa Bay Rays.
Well, I mean, this is what happens when guys get hurt. You got to dip into the practice squad.
I've got a lat strain.
Yeah. If you're Lamar, Cordell's Josh Johnson. Let's just hope I'm...
Cordell's got a higher...
You're not Leary?
Yeah, hopefully I'm a little better than Devin Leary.
Yeah. Maybe you're Timothy Leary. You'll be tripping when it's all
I'll
said.
I'll be looking forward to... Going with no one in the chair tomorrow.
Could be anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say I'll be listening, but I won't. So that's just the way it is. But I'm listening to the fun house.
You'll be getting eye drops.
Yeah. For $117. All right. There we go.
Quick draws. Fun house.
$117.
The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this one here. Texter says, at this point, do you feel like the Ravens' true rival is not even in the division, the Chiefs, more so than the longstanding Steelers rivalry?
Bob, you can answer.
You got to get through to the division to get to Kansas City, but Pittsburgh's been kind of owning the Ravens lately. Cincinnati's been the division foe as of late, but to get to where the Ravens need to go, I think the texter's right. You got to go through KC to get to the Super Bowl, I would think.
And now with Pittsburgh always with the schedule, they play the last game. I mean, a lot of times one of those games never even matters.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I can't remember the last time the Ravens and Steelers played where the game actually had some juice to it.
For both teams, last year Pittsburgh needed to win to get in, but the Ravens played their second stringers in that game.
And it's been forever since they played in prime time. That used to be automatic when the schedule came out every year, both games in prime time.
Yep.
Let's see this texter here. This one's from Jimmy. Says Ryan Wilson and others a little bit too much of a prisoner of the moment when it comes to the Texans. I think they might be in line for a regression. Going to be playing a first place schedule as well this year.
I still think. I mean, they've added some good people. You know, Danielle Hunter. You know, so they got two pass rushers. Their receivers are healthy. Their quarterback should be better year two than he was year one. Like you said, the schedule is tougher, but don't play the schedule right now because who knows what that schedule is going to be like down the road.
Chris here checking in. He's looking beyond the Dodgers series, next two against the Rockies and White Sox. If the Orioles can't take five of those six games, they flat out don't deserve to win the division.
Well, you have the Colorado Rockies, who are not very good. The White Sox, historically bad at home. And if you win the series in L.A., anything less than mashing those two teams will be uncivilized and unacceptable, perhaps, depending on what the Yankees do, by the way.
Now, the last time the Orioles and White Sox met, I believe it was May, around Memorial Day, the Orioles weren't slumping as bad as they are now, but I do remember at the time it was a four-game series. They needed to start getting on a roll. They ended up sweeping them. There's some close games in there, but they walked away with the four-game sweep, and then that led them into June where they were just blasting away.
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the White Sox pitchers was throwing like a no-hitter or a shutout late, and then the Orioles hit a couple of home runs. I believe Westberg was part of that power surge.
And we'll close things out with Howard in Baltimore, who says Ramon Arias has been a godsend for the Orioles. Without his recent play, I don't think they would have won. Without his recent play, they'd probably be four or five games back behind New York. He should finish out the season as the everyday third baseman and into the playoffs.
Well, he's earned some starts for sure, and out of necessity and out of performance and earning playing time. And when Westberg comes back, and we don't know when that is, I think Brandon Hyde will figure out a spot for him because he is an all-star level player. But Ramon Arias, nice career revival for him in the second half of the season, because as we've talked about many times today, he looked like a guy that might not be on the team in August, much less being one of their key offensive contributors. That's it. We're done. Inside Access coming up next. I'll be back on Friday. Cordell's going to be here making it happen. Nolan's going to open the show. What are you going to throw? First pitch fastball? Are we going to try to paint the corners? We'll find out tomorrow, everybody, starting at 10 o'clock. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk in morning class dismissed.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.